A number of years ago, we were praying for two people who were going out to do ministry together, and we were aware that there were some issues of tension between them. While they loved each other, they had different ways of being in the world. They had just their different personalities and different ways of doing things. And as a result, there was tension that sometimes arose in the process of doing ministry. In prayer, we were reminded that good tension is needed. And the person that was praying and brought this up said, when you're sewing, the tension on the two threads is important. If one thread is too tight, it breaks and it doesn't work. If one thread is too loose, it bunches and knots and makes a mess and gets caught and it doesn't work. That you need correct tension on the sewing machine in order for the seam to work well and to hold and be substantial. Put simply, voltage is electrical tension. We plug in something to the outlet and just trust that whatever we plugged in will work. But there's electrical tension that causes the voltage to work. And I think if we were to talk about tension and where are all the places we're aware of tension in our physical world around us, we would probably come up with a pretty good list of places that tension is essential. It is a necessary function in our physical world. Well, this week, all week, I've been just drawn to the thought that we need to do tension well. That tension is a part of life and that we need to learn to do it well. It means staying together and being willing to live with the tension. It means that we're refusing to do the fight or flight syndrome thing. That either I'm out of here and I'll just let you do whatever you're going to do, but I'm gone. Or kind of stay and demand that everything go my way. That we lay down our tendency to avoid difficult topics by simply going silent. And I realize that I even do this. I'm pretty good with people that I know really well saying, but wait a minute. But with people I don't know as well, sometimes I don't want to ruffle the feathers. I don't want to make waves. I just kind of let it be. Rather than developing the kinds of relationships that say, let's talk that through. Let's tug and pull. Let's think about it in a way that's congenial and respectful and all of those kinds of things. And that we choose to stay in honest relationship with each other. Parker Palmer talked about how being in right relationship was more important than being right. And yet I think it takes a commitment to do it in honest relationship, because I can choose to stay in right relationship. My relationship with you is more important than being right, so therefore I don't talk about it. And that doesn't get us anywhere. Honest, right relationship says that we can talk about those things. When we think about the disciples, it's easy to assume that they were of one heart and one mind as they followed Jesus. And Colin Saxon sometimes says that there were those that were among the disciples that Jesus called to walk alongside him that had real differences of opinion. There was a zealot and a tax collector, and they were bitter enemies in that culture. But they are together as a part of the disciples. A wild-eyed political zealot hoping to reclaim Israel's land from the hated Romans. And a traitorous tax collector, a Hebrew, who had sold out to Rome in order to get rich. And they were both a part of Jesus' disciples. Now, while we believe that there was redemption and transformation happening in their lives, my guess is they still held on to strong political ideologies from which they came. That it wasn't oh, none of that mattered. That they still saw things from a different way of being. And Colin thought that he was pretty sure that Jesus had to spend some nights sleeping between the two when they were out on the road walking around Israel, because their differences would have inflamed over some situation that happened during the day, as it does for many of us, and they would have easily gotten into an argument over something, and Jesus would have brought peace to that situation as he was between us, or between them. And that only by God's grace and peace could these two men come out walking arm in arm as brothers, able to put aside their own agendas and biases to find a unity that transcended their diversity. So it's by God's grace that we stand together as one in Christ and that we stay together. And I think that sometimes that Jesus does sleep between us when we have our differences. And we can even envision that Jesus is between me and you, and that there's this holy space between us that holds us together rather than dividing us and taking us apart. But it takes practice. It takes practice to live with that kind of tension. And it's practice that both the world and the church don't give enough attention to, I don't think. We're better when we stay together and hold our diversity. Way Forward is much more complex and nuanced. But we have to learn to stay present to the tension and to see it as positive, to see it as something that holds us together in a way that is good. And learning to find that creative tension really moves us to a better place. I think about Bill, who has told the story of being divided up by personalities and given a problem. And when he was with others which had his same personality type, they pretty quickly came to a solution. Later, they divvied everybody up so that you were a part of a group with all personality types. And you weren't kind of held separate. And they had a lot harder time finding a solution to the problem that they were given. But the solution was infinitely better. We need each other because we too easily go to the simple way out, not recognizing or honoring the nuances of differences in a complex world. The political world has given up on working together and prefers to divide and conquer. It's easy to slip into that mold ourselves, and even within the church say, we need to stay pure, we need to stay separate, we need to do what's right and not do what's wrong, and push back against others in ways that, again, tempt us to lose the nuances. Quakers have divided so many times over issues that we've really lost our connection and some of the good that it would have happened if we had stayed together. And today, the current conflicts are so deeply felt that both sides call us to divide again. And yet, that living with creative tension is a positive thing, to stay together, to not give up on that process of being in relationship with each other and allowing God to sort out the differences in time. We often feel that we're giving up our values and losing if we don't persist in pushing my leading. But in dividing, we lose the tension and we lose our tether to the other side. Rather than become better, we drift further away into further away from the center where we are and stayed together in that process. And so I think it's important to be able to stay together, to work. Doesn't mean that we give up our leadings. It doesn't mean that we deny what is true for us, it doesn't mean that we say, oh, it isn't important. I think that's the temptation that we sometimes go to. We either separate or we say it doesn't matter. And our convictions do matter. Our convictions do matter. I think the world desperately needs to know that our differences don't need to destroy us, don't need to separate us. Parker Palmer is a famous Quaker that has written a lot about democracy and a lot about kind of how to deal with political issues as well as how to be a good teacher and all kinds of other things. But he talks about five habits of the heart that help to make democracy possible. The first one is understanding that we are all in this together. That despite our individualism and our feeling in this country of national superiority, that we are one race, the human race. That we are doing life together on planet Earth. And that we are interconnected. Secondly, he says that we need an appreciation of the value of otherness. That the stranger has much to teach us. That the one that is different than me, their otherness has value even to me and to my understanding of life. Three, he says, we need an ability to hold tension in life-giving ways. Tension well held allows us to expand our thinking to new understandings, and we have the capacity to use the tension that comes with our limitations to generate insight, energy, and new life. As we stay present and allow the tension to be there, to be a part of the truth of who we are. In that, we need also, number four is that we need a sense of personal voice and agency. That we're not spectators on the world's drama, letting it play out in front of us as passive people sitting back and watching it happen. But that we are actors and that we must find our voices and learn how to speak them. And to speak them so that we engage well with each other. We need a voice. And fifth, he says, we need a capacity to create community. He said it takes a village to raise a Rosa Parks. That it took a village to translate her act of sitting on the bus where she wasn't supposed to sit into an act of social change. That she couldn't just do that by herself. Her one act of sitting in the wrong seat would have been lost if there hadn't been others that had come alongside. So we need the courage of standing with a community to step out and follow our leadings. It is so important that we stand together. Dove, you didn't mention it in your sharing in God Stories, but you told me yesterday that our prayer for you as you work with the Electoral College really helped you this week, of knowing that you weren't alone, of knowing that we were with you, of knowing that we were holding you in that process. And it is so true. We need each other as we live out our leadings. And yet we need each other to help us hold this creative tension in a way that allows us to look beyond to the next step and look at things this way or that way. And we never know where God will lead us. It isn't just my way or your way, but usually God says, over here, over here's another way. Let me show you. But we have to stay in relationship. We have to stay connected. We have to be committed to holding that tension together. And I think that if we can model that as a church, we will be a gift to the world. The world at large, which has learned you just got to divide and conquer. That's the only way. Just divide and conquer. And to know that there is way in Christ to stay together. in Christ that we can know and learn way forward. And if we are willing to stay together and stay in relationship, that God will lead us. I'm going to close by reading from John chapter 17, verses 20 through 23 out of the Message Bible. This is Jesus' prayer for the disciples as he was facing the end of his life when he was crucified on the cross. He says, I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me. So not only for the disciples, but also for all of us throughout time, all that will believe in Christ. Because of them and their witness about me, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. As unified and together as God the Father and God the Son. I in them and you in me. And they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you've sent me and loved them in the same way that you've loved me. Let's wait in open worship as we listen to the God who has called us to be one in him, to find way to stay together and hold each other, to love each other, to let love be that sinew that flows down between us and connects us, even when we aren't sure how to do it. When we aren't sure that we know what that means for me, and it doesn't feel possible, that we can trust God because God is love. And God connects us. Let us wait. Let us listen.